Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Support for today's episode comes from Vincero. If you aren't familiar with Vincero yet, they make exceptionally crafted and stylish watches at affordable prices. Other premium handcrafted watches don't fit the everyday person's budget. You can finally own a high-quality and lasting timepiece without going broke. If you're looking for a perfect Valentine's Day gift for yourself or someone you love, you can now save 20%. That's a big number. Plus free shipping site-wide with our exclusive code K100. Support the show and check them out at Vincero. That's V-I-N-C-E-R-O collective.com. And use code K100. And basically what this is a premium lifestyle brand. Guess where they're based out of, Conan?
Where?
San Diego, California.
Boom.
And basically their goal is to help everyday person accessorize their outfits with premium products at a price that makes sense. So they're trying to give you some quality looking stuff minus the designer prices. And they design everything in your house. Source their own materials and produce in small batches. They're committed to doing things well or not at all. And for all the boss men and women out there, their watches are a must. I wear one of them. I haven't worn a watch in 30 years. I'm wearing them now. And they can elevate your look with the twist of the wrist. They're made with surgical-grade stainless steel, durable silicone, and Italian marble straps. And these sleek, modern watches come with reliable automatic and Japanese quartz movements. They're great watches. And they also have sunglasses that can polarize with handcrafted frames and so many styles to choose from, too. And they also have jewelry. So you ask for it, they listen. From pendants, chains, to bold bracelet statements, Vincero is consistent with their jewelry drops. They're perfect to come to your watch. And ladies, or men, if you're buying for your partner, Vincero's women's jewelry is designed to stand out and keep you feeling confident. And they make it easy to reinvent your style one accessory at a time. They have everything here. The Vincero Collective is your one-stop shop for Valentine's Day, and they even offer a 5-year guarantee with a 365-day free return policy to make gift-giving even easier. They're putting their stock in this product and betting on it and saying, you know, you have a year to return these if you don't like it. That's an unbelievable deal. So whether it's a gift for yourself or someone in your life, add Vincero to the top of your wish list. Joe, you know, you have a wish list, so maybe you put some Vincero products on this. So don't wait or it'll be too late. Get 20% off plus free shipping site-wide with their code K100 at www.vincerocollective.com. Support our show and check them out at vincerocollective.com and use the code K100. Look good, feel good, and save big with Vincero. And our listeners, they listen to our advice with grooming products, with fitness products, supplement products. The Vincero Collective puts the icing on the cake with all the stuff they offer.
Now, real quick, we found out about this through Joe because he does ads for other shows. and he had used the Vincero product. What was it that got you interested so you could recommend it here? Because I know Disc ordered something, but I don't know if he got it yet.
Yeah, I much like Disco, I'm not a big watchwear type, but I checked this out a couple of months ago, and I got the Rogue, it's called. And there's dozens of these different designs to look at. I like the Rogue Black Watch. Very straightforward, very comfortable. You know how sometimes you get a watch, it slides around, it's noisy, you're not comfortable with it. This is nothing like that. It's very, very comfortable on your wrist. Tells perfect time, and I think it's cool looking. I really, really enjoyed this watch. I'm happy that I purchased it.
Yeah, I got the watch. Right. Excellent. Yeah.
Because I ordered the glasses, mm-hmm. but they also got jewelry. They got some cool little chains. You know, everything they do is really well done. If not, we wouldn't promote it. Look your best. With a watch, with a chain, with some glasses, some cool glasses, by the way, not the ones that Joe has on with the peeling tint at Vincero. Boom.
Next is from SCSA in the subject is Patreon Gonzo. Good day, guys. Quick and to the point, Billy just had his lockbetting Patreon shut down. Do you think a Billy hater snitched on him? Apparently, betting stuff isn't allowed on Patreon. Thanks, Eddie Gonzalez. Did you hear about this, Conan?
No.
So Billy's Patreon got shut down because they said no. And this is weird, okay, because there's still sites on there, but they claim to him that they're trying to cut back on gambling content. Bro, it's gambling information. Like, he's giving it. There's no gambling going on.
Yeah, it's sports.
He's giving
talk.
Out his picks, right? It's his basic sports.
Bro, this to me, so weird, is right? I think, and I could be wrong, but there's people that definitely hate him, definitely hate you, definitely right. hate me, definitely hate, you know, the opinionated guys, right?
Right.
You know, all these virtue signalers. And they'll go out of their way to try to fuck up your shit, you know? And so I guarantee you somebody went out of their way to try to fuck this guy over.
Yeah, I would bet on that for sure.
Could you believe this guy, Goofy Brian Dunlap? Listen to this email. This Ooh. Is ridiculous. Brian Dunlap, he's the guy that does his booking ideas every week. Remember we talk about him? Like not every really. Time he All right, Wrestling Otaku wants Tony Khan to hire him.
Okay, wait a minute. Who? I'm serious. Who's that?
That's Mark that cut the promo on us that time that had the glasses and everything, that neck beard. Remember?
Isn't that guy from New York, yeah. that JD guy?
No,
no,
it's a different
this
guy.
Is the guy that the Mark, the super Mark, that cut the promo on us, you know, like a.
I'll show you'll see him
yeah,
in
like
a
yes, like
you'll
an
see
overweight
him in a
guy
anyway. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. the guy with the double right. chin and stuff. Right, right, that guy. Right, okay. Hello, Conan Disco. You might not want to hear about the IWC guru Wrestling Otaku again, but he's recently sent out a video called "Tony Khan, I'm Still Waiting for That Job Offer." From what I've watched in the video,
good luck looking like that.
Otaku wants a creative position in AEW. Do you think TK would ever give that to him? If he did, would it be a negative or a net gain for all elite wrestling?
Hey, Jesus.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. I remember from earlier podcast discussion from K100, an issue you guys had with AEW was where are the gimmicks and where are the characters? Wrestling Otaku is definitely a gimmick and a character, but he's ready for the big time like AEW. What about an indie run? Wrestling Otaku doesn't necessarily have a look that screams TV friendly, but there might be something. What do you think? If you're a wrestler, an avalanche splash from Otaku would legitimately look like it hurts. He goes on many rants. Perhaps his ranty style could be considered, and he could be a manager of sorts. And oh yeah, there's a video of him and his request to work for AEW. We are not watching this. You talk about a mark, and you want us to comment on the mark? Brian, stick to wrestling characters for questions. All right? We don't care. Like, the guy is a mark. They should not hire the mark. You know, so whatever.
And to me, it's not just about not hiring a mark. But if you've ever watched his stuff or listened to him, he's a little on. He probably can't hold any job.
The thing that you sent me, he doesn't seem the most intelligent guy in the
right.
world.
Right.
Just to start off, number two, and take that as you want, Otaku. I really don't give a fuck. Challenge me, whatever you're going to do after you hear this, because somebody will send it to him and he'll get triggered. The other one is the bro, if Tony Khan hasn't hired other people that have distinguished past on the writing committee, he's definitely not going to hire this Jay Brown. I can guarantee you that.
All right. Next is from we had a lot of mail this week again.
Mm-hmm.
Next is from Valerie D, and the subject is cool. Hey, K100 crew, I have a question. What
email listener? How about that?
Oh, yeah. I have a question on what factors into making someone cool, especially from Conan. Conan's mentioned often that he thinks Tony Khan is cool. Meanwhile, I was quick to point out what a nerd and Mike Durbin is. I'm not saying Durbin is cool, but is it possible that Durbin had that Conan, Tony Khan money to start his own wrestling promotion while Khan was just a guy paying hard cash for a Jeff Lane t-shirt so he could be a guest on Russo's show and eventually trick his way into being on K-100? Would you, Conan, still think Khan was cool solely based on his personality? So basically saying, like, you call Khan cool, but would you still think Durbin was – would you think Durbin was still a nerd and Tony Khan was still cool?
She's saying reverse the roles. Mike Durbin owns AEW and has $1 billion, and Tony Khan – is a guy who paid to get a shirt to be on the brand and now
probably. I think it is cool that you're a billionaire and that you own a fucking soccer team and you own a football team and a wrestling promotion. I do think that's cool. And when I talk to him, we like the same movies. He's a humongous, humongous sports fan, which, as you know, I am. So I can talk with him sports from UFC to college basketball to college football to everything, you know. And we have like the same taste in movies and comedy. So it's a really good conversation when we're having non-wrestling conversations.
And I don't think you're harsh on Mike like that. You said, you know, you like Mike, but you give him shit for action figures, and what the hell? That's funny. You know, you're not over the top. Or
me and Mike are cool, bro. It's all part of the, it's all part of the busting balls thing here.
Exactly.
You're gonna be, if I'm not busting your balls, you're probably not my friend. You know? So
there you go, Valerie.
Next one's from Straight to the Baja. Subject is Dom's Progress. What's up, Conan Disco and America's Ugliest Twink? Oh, that's a cheap show. Quick question. Dominic Mysterio was strictly being trained by you, Disco, not letting his mind rot watching Lucha and taking sketchy advice from that Carolina hick Shane Helms. Would he already be main eventing WrestleMania? You were the superior one for a reason. This is just a bit. Actually, we're going to suspend this guy because he's just basically here and just insulting people. So, but we put over Dom because he's improving dramatically. So.
But he's just saying, would Dom be improving faster if you were in Shane Helms's place? I don't know.
This guy's just trying to insult people.
So yeah.
I've worked with Dom before. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dom and Ray got in the ring together here in Vegas. So it's like, you know, yeah. I mean, of course, if he was working with me, I'd teach him stuff, you know. So he may be coming to work before his match at WrestleMania here in Vegas with me and Ray. So next is a Wade and Grohl fight. The subject is Conan versus Khan. Next time you have Billy on the show and he has no wrestling news, don't record a wrestling segment. The WrestleMania 39 segment you guys recorded with him was just a mid-40s mark, rambling for nearly 50 minutes. And then to make it even worse, even when Conan came back from his phone call, Billy repeated the entire rant all over again. Billy is such a bad podcaster, he doesn't know that the show is being recorded for the audience, not the people on the show. Just stick to K-100 Sports from now on because you guys letting Billy think he's some type of wrestling expert is killing the show. Any random mark could do that. Question, though. Conan, I recently seen this article. Just to make a bit, because every time somebody writes this in, bro, our numbers are not – our numbers are going up, not down. Okay, so everything you guys say – you know the funny thing is when I used to say people – like when all these mark podcasters and dirt sheet guys and things say, this guy's got go-away heat. Okay, but you never go away. So who are you speaking for? You know, like to go away. So you people like – listen to our comment we had on YouTube with Billy this week. We argued with him, and you probably liked it because it looks like we're going to be right because Cody was over huge again on Monday. So Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I was taking – I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it – there's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like – it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate. Just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great. And you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym. You know, it works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Konien. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All three of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Konien.
Boom.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes! Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport App says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
Question though, Konien, I recently seen this article online about heat between AAA and AEW. I was wondering if maybe you could update us on the heat, maybe fill in the backstory that caused the problem. And the article is issues between AAA and AEW could search for upcoming Hijo del Vikingo opponent. According to the WrestleMania, what big name will face Hijo Vikingo for the AAA Megatile in 2023? The plan may be for one of AEW's top stars. It matters things to smooth out from where they currently sit. According to the Observer, AAA's hope for one of the AAA shows this year is to have Vikingo face either Kenny Omega or recent free agent Kota Ibushi. However, AAA may have to work to do in securing at least Omega in terms of reestablishing a strong relationship with Tony Khan following what went down with FTR and Acapulco. There, FTR dropped 8 AAA tag team titles to Dragon Lee and Dralistico at December's Night of Champions, despite Tony Khan being made aware in advance that Lee had agreed to a deal with WWE. It is believed that Khan may have been under the impression at some point that it'd be AEW's own Rush tagging with Dralistico to beat FTR for the title change instead. But AAA used Lee in that spot as a favor to WWE. In spite of whether or not it made sense to have a champion that minutes later would vacate the championship with his exit, with WWE desiring to stick it to AEW and how things played out. AAA Booker Konien did go to Orlando at the end of January, hoping to improve the situation between both promotions and deal with any repercussions. How that went so far is anyone's guess. You got a comment on that? Did we talk about this on the show? Go ahead.
I don't think so.
No, you spoke with me about it. We haven't talked about this yet. Yeah, go ahead. You want to talk about it?
Well, this is what I can say.
Okay.
So basically the thing was, is that WWE reached out to AAA, not to me, to AAA and my boss. And I guess they wanted to film something with Dragon Lee, who had just been signed to NXT or is going to sign to NXT after the match. So basically what happened was, is that originally Dragon Lee wasn't going to be in that match. It was going to be Rush, who's his brother, Rush. And so when I asked Rush to take his place, he just said, hey, with all due respect, that's my brother. But he did his history with Dralistico. That's another brother. They're three brothers. Okay. He said he did
Rush, Dralistico, and Dragon Lee are all brothers.
Right. So he said he did his history with Dralistico, and I want to just be handed a title. You know, I want to earn it, and I want to win it. And I said, all right, so we'll keep Dragon Lee in there. And so
Think this would be a big deal when that decision
came? No, if not, we wouldn't have done it. Yeah.
Right.
So there was no malice aforethought, but I can see Tony in Tony's mind. He's probably paranoid because he has got an irrational hate for WWE, obviously, because they've been tampering with his talent. He does not like them, you know?
Right.
So he thought, how is it possible my business partner is working with them? But my whole thing was, okay, well, FTR wasn't in the ring when it happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, well, you know, but when Dragon Lee was wearing the belt, FTR's name was on it or something like that. I'm like, who even notices that? You know, but I can see where he felt he was being blindsided because we didn't tell him ahead of time. But if we thought it was a big deal, we would have told him. We didn't think it was a big deal because he didn't say he was with WWE till after the match. You know what I'm saying? So he got on the mic and all he said was, I want to thank AAA for helping me. I want to thank the fans. And I just signed with WWE, you know.
Right.
I guess for Tony, that was
I'll be honest, bro.
Yeah.
Like you telling me that story, I'm like, okay, how does this affect? Like, where? How is this going to negatively affect AEW?
And like, in their mind, oh, they lost to somebody from WWE. Yeah,
nobody cares about that crap. I mean, bro, you got these guys. He has his talent working indie shows all over the place.
Right.
You know, like against non-contracted talent.
Plus,
like,
FTR is already not appearing for the next few months. And it's not like if they did, the commentators would say, hey, do you know FTR lost to Dragon Lee last week? Like, right.
I don't know if this is Tony tripping or somebody getting in his ear and go, oh, can you believe Conan again? He kind of fucking buries the show and then he does this bullshit. And then he's like, yeah, you're right. You know, he's not a good partner. But I like Tony. I always have liked Tony, you know?
All right. Next is from Subject on an Island. Which music do you pick? Disco and Conan, I know you're both big music guys. If you're banished to an island and can only bring along a music catalog for three artists, who would those artists be?
Huh.
Lewis Rice. Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, and probably U2 would be my choices. What about you?
What's yours, Joe?
Guns N' Roses, The Doors, and The Rolling Stones.
Guns N' Roses?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of music.
It never gets old to me.
Right. What about you, Conan?
I don't know. That's such
Plus,
a tough
I'll one. Go to MSL if I want to get any elite songs that haven't come out, you know?
Next is from Adam Ortiz. You can't think of three.
You have an answer?
If I had to think of three, and because I would need a long time to think of it because I like so many people, I'm just going to say off the top of my head, Earth, Wind, and Fire, maybe Public Enemy.
Prince?
Maybe Prince, yeah.
All right. Next is from Adam Ortiz, and subject is Four Live Crew. Adam from Boston. Hey, Conan, Disco, and Joe, my question is for Conan. Just finished watching a video on YouTube about the Three Live Crew in TNA. The video was created by Marky D, if anyone's interested.
Ooh.
And then I learned that Billy Gunn joined the group to form the Four Live Crew, but you guys weren't together for that long. And about a week or so later, when you hit Billy and Road Dogg over the head with a chair in the middle of an 8-man tag match against Team Canada. My question is, why did it end so quickly? It looked like you were all really over and hadn't even scratched the surface yet with what you four could have done. Thank you for all for your time. Love the show. Conan, stay strong and stay healthy and keep up the good spirits. Oh, and FKG.
Well, what happened there is Dusty Rhodes was the booker, and I guess he thought that it would be better just to keep Road Dogg and Billy Gunn together because of their DX days, you know? And Jeff Jarrett went along with it, and I remember we were in a hotel room, and we were like, okay, so what are you going to do with us? Because obviously BG and this guy are going to make a group, and they're going to go, what are you going to do with me? And I remember that Ronnie wanted to tag with Jeff Hardy because they were boys as a shoot. And Jeff was like, no. Then I said, all right, then put me and Ronnie together. And we'll fucking, he goes, no. I don't want to put, I go, why not? What's the big deal? And that's when I came up with the LAX concept, which was also not an easy sell.
Well, Adam, there's with the FKG. I can provide an update on us discussing KG and GCW last week. And from what I understand and heard, he stopped showing up with no word or warning. That's
where have we seen that before?
That's what somebody said to me. Did the same thing to you guys, right? Which I find that very strange.
Well, it's not very.
That's how snowflakes handle shit. They don't confront. They attack on social media, and then they don't. Right. Want to have civil discourse. You can never talk to them face-to-face, man-to-man.
But he seemed like he was a major part over there and a big part of their DNA and all that. I'm just surprised. I don't know what happened, but it surprises me.
Because like he did in ICP, like he did here, he gets exposed for being the fucking fraud that he is. Says, sorry that I'm still burying the guy, but, you know, hey, he was supposed to be a big integral part of ICP, whoop-de-whoop, and he had the chain, and he ran one of their fucking – and he was a booker for them, and he ran one of their fucking podcasts, and – they ended up getting rid of him and not talking good about him on his way out either.
Right.
Yeah.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bare. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and it's a cordless trimmer. It has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just one guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, and it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your beard and hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why they get a shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. So pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can...
if he's interested.
Yeah, he's interested in that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think, right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Next is, this is interesting. The subject is Escobar and Rey exchange masks. How long is this clip, Joe? We can watch this. Salutations to the superior one, the great KO Double G, and the man that should have been voted as the Entrepreneur of the Year in Philadelphia Chronicle for outstanding podcasting, JoJo Feeney III.
Philadelphia Chronicle, that's prestigious.
Compliments for Disco.
You're not.
Timeout is still the only reason to subscribe to Russo's Patreon, especially after the atrocious show we started called Hey Mom Doing a TV Show in the Basement, which is essentially a ripoff of Durbin and Hughie's not-so-popular YouTube show that shall not be named.
Huh.
Disco's recent castigation, which is a tremendous word for Canadian wrestling mark who lives in his mom's basement to use while writing into a podcast, of Sean Sapp, proves that Disco still's got it like that. Question: have you guys seen the clip of Escobar and Rey exchanging masks backstage? I have attached a link below. I know Disco doesn't like lucha content over the 1 minute mark, but it's definitely great, good video to watch. What are your thoughts on it? But let's play it, Joe.
Ever since I was a little kid, pulling up with my dad, and we saw you, and he said to me, "You see him? That's Rey Mysterio. He's going to do big things in this business." I guess that hit me. Because when the time came for me to be here, all I ever wanted was to take your legacy and make it mine. Because, hey, after all, my dad wasn't wrong. He did a lot of things. He still do. But after tonight, I can only accept and respect that Rey is all about lucha. And I guess in honor to my dad, who didn't raise a champion, but he raised a lion, I must present you the ultimate sign of respect. This doesn't mean I don't want your legacy, but hell, I do respect what you are. I remember you telling me that story one time, a long time ago when we first met. And I cherish that story in my heart. And you know what this means. This is sacred. This is special. This is something that is not to be messed around with. I respect that. And just as you presented me with something so sacred, I want to do the same. I want to present you with something that will bring out that ferociousness within that line, within your heart, and hoping that this will let you create your own legacy. Respeto, admiración, el futuro de la lucha.
What did you think of that?
That was great. And that just shows, you know, when you know how to act, you're going to get over. And that was great job by fucking Phantasma. Let me tell you a story about Phantasma. Because I have so much love. Obviously, everybody knows my history with Rey, so he's my brother. But Phantasma, his dad had called me a year before he came into AAA, and he was like, "Hey, they're not doing nothing with him in Arena Mexico. Will you talk to him? Because he's kind of down." So we were going back and forth, and I finally got him to come to AAA. And the first day he was there, I had him cut a promo in the ring, and he was absolutely terrible because they don't really do promos over there in Arena Mexico. So I worked with him on his promos. He became my number one heel. He became my champ. And he was also out of shape. And I go, "Bro, if you want me to push you as a top heel, you need to get in shape." And he got into incredible shape. you know? So he was a guy that I could see by his discipline, by how fast he learned, by when I told him to get in shape, he didn't give me excuses. He did it, you know, and he was easy to deal with. He was easy to work with. And back then I already knew he was going to be a star. So I'm so happy to see his growth, you know, and I'm so happy he's doing something with Rey, because he does, like every luchador, you know, Rey's a god to them. So he does respect Rey a lot. Yeah.
I remember I brought this thing. I don't know if maybe they listened to the podcast. Remember when I approached this possible angle the other day where I said, wouldn't it be kind of cool because the cartels are bad guys? So I brought this up as a possible angle. It's like when you read about the cartels, it's like if you want to do character development with those guys, okay, like, okay, they're Mexicans. They're kind of like, you know, like you see the gimmicks of them, like they're in the bar, they're drinking drinks. He's got the girl, you know, they're cartel guys, right? Which are heels. But the cartel guys still kind of respect Mexican culture. Like they have respect for elders and stuff at the end. You've heard them like when we talked about when you know, K-100 talks about the cartels are telling like people, hey, don't go after the priests anymore. Don't go after the, like you're saying, there's like certain people in touch. I think this is a good angle, and you could do good long-term storytelling here where you know, Rey's a babyface, will always be a babyface, but he's still a Mexican. And you got the Mexican heels that still kind of respect Rey because he's a Mexican legend. But they don't really like any of the other babyfaces. Like, and you could do some good storytelling, like that vignette that we just saw right there, where like they're having conversations and like, you know, like – Rey maybe is trying to get these guys to like change their ways and stuff, and all that, but like, you know, but they're just still bad guys.
I have a feeling they're turning these guys face, or they already have. And right. I have a feeling there's nothing Rey's told me that they're going to put them together somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
And they could turn and that could be the big blow off, you know. I don't know, because like I said, like Rey is going in this thing with Dom. Rey right. has no allies, they got the whole freaking Judgment Day. Like you can absolutely mm-hmm. see like some like, you know, where
the Legado cartel guys coming are going, out to the quit,
100%. Absolutely. It's a good, and you're telling why would he do that? This is a perfect example why he would do that vignette right there. You know, so that's good stuff, you know?
Right.
And it just shows you too, to tell all these Mexican wrestlers, bro, learn to speak English.
Right.
You know, because that worked because Fantasmet speaks good English, you know? Right. So next is from Jose, and the subject is whoop whoop. What's up, crew? This is Voodoo Trucker from SoCal. So my question is for Disco. I remember you saying in a past episode that you were booked for the Gathering of the Juggalos at one point. What was the experience like? Did you stay for all 3 days of the event? Did you witness any crazy shenanigans with the Juggalos? And what other notable names were booked? P.S. Keep up the great job, guys. Larry Dallas is a breath of fresh air to Lucha segment, but I'd be lying if I say I didn't miss D.I. getting worked up over here in Aero Lucha and Triple from what's his name? I did a couple of them, and I remember one I wrestled, bro. Lodi had a broken neck in Lodi was in a broken neck gimmick, and actually went out there and worked with the broken neck, bro. The fans would throw garbage at you in the ring. It's just like I didn't, you know. And bro, they would bring everybody there. They bring like weird.
I know.
You know, like
they bring rappers
rappers, just everything. Like it's just everybody that they were a fan of, they would book to come to the gathering,
right?
You know, and then like a fan, this guy, let's bring him in. It's like it's a different experience, you know, because it's not really my scene, because it's kind of like a crowd of social outcasts and everything, and this is how they bond. But there's a lot of community and like a lot of love for each other there. Like the Juggalos do have like a lot of like they're very close knit kind of community of people. You know, so I do respect that about those guys for sure. That they built a very passionate base of fans that are all kind of like in together. Bro, remember when they wrestled TNA? They bring their whole bring a whole section of fans. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like they're very passionate people. You know, so
do you guys remember? I'm not sure offhand if either of you were still working their Conan. I'm pretty sure. So ICP showed up for a pay per view and they brought Scott Hall with them. And they were sitting in the front row with them and Scott Hall. And Scott had heat with TNA for no show in a pay-per-view. Do you remember that at all? Did you see Scott? No, did you hear?
I don't remember. That had to have been a work.
They eventually pulled him out. They made him leave the front row.
Are you serious? I'd never heard this story before.
Mm-hmm. Me neither. And I think we were there.
Conan.
What it do?
End the old year with a new you, and close it'll give you the confidence to tackle those 2023 resolutions. Thanks to our new sponsor, True Classic. You'll have everything you need to hit the gym, take it slow, or treat yourself to something nice, let's get snatched in 2023, and daddies, I'm talking to you. True Classic has already helped over 2 million men look great in their tees, and now you can save big while you do so. For a limited time only, get 25% off with the code K100 at TrueClassic.com. True Classic will make you feel your best by accentuating the places that the eyes go to first, which is your body. And have you thought about upgrading your shirts? Almost all men's t-shirts are designed to look good to certain body types. That's why True Classic's team designed t-shirts to make the fellows of all sizes out there feel confident in their clothing. These tees taper off towards the bottom, but they fit tighter around the chest and shoulders. There's a desirable look that can be achieved by every single body type. They give you the wide shoulder and tapered bottom look that we're all looking for, and the quality of the t-shirts are elite. From going to the gym to your first date, there's no better look than a fresh tee. I wear t-shirts all the time. And True Classic offers other menswear as well. The True Classic Activewear line makes physical features more flattering, and their fabrics are engineered for high-intensity workouts. I pair an active shirt with their fleece or quick-dry shorts or a pair of their comfy joggers. They also just released new button-downs and chinos, which are perfect for a nice night out. And you can never go wrong with their classic comfort collection of ultra-soft tees, briefs, hoodies, and much more. And you know me, I'm a big hoodie guy. They have a pack builder on their site where you can customize the bundle you want and save even more. And for my big fellas out there, they have long options for the tall guys and up to triple XL. Now, True Classic also has a 100% risk-free guarantee with a 30-day return policy. That's great for you. The response to these tees are overwhelmingly positive, with over 200,000 five-star reviews. It's no wonder these t-shirts are quickly becoming men's go-to. So, dad bods, we got you covered. Rip bods, you know it. Your average Joe, that's you. Yes, sir. Get 25% off at TrueClassic.com with the code K100. That's 25% off with the code K100 plus free shipping on purchases over $100. New year, new me, and new tees thanks to True Classic at TrueClassic.com.
Bro, these are great. They're comfortable. You know, and like he said, they come in so many different styles. The one that I got, they have polos, they have V-necks, they have long sleeves. They got, you know what a Henley shirt is, D.I.?
Oh, Henley shirt?
Yeah.
No.
Those are the ones that have no collar, and they're kind of round, and they have buttons right here. And they have different colors. Very, very comfortable. And, you know, it does a real good job of accentuating your upper body. They're very, very comfortable, you know, and I highly recommend it. So, you know, get your attire on at True Classic Tees. Boom.
Next is from Gabe Tuff, and the subject is NBA coaches. Hey, Filthy Animals crew, how do you feel about the NBA coaches no longer wearing suits during the game? I'm old school, but coaches today shouldn't be looking like the players in sweats. Imagine seeing the likes of Pat Riley, Larry Brown, Jeff Van Gundy, Phil Jackson, Don Nelson looking like the coaches dressed today. Thank you. And that's Gabriel from Poughkeepsie. Bro, I've always wondered why the coaches are wearing suits and stuff and everything during the game instead of being comfortable. Because some of these guys get worked up and get sweat. Bro, remember the coaches, like, they come out there in the suit. You know, by the third quarter, they got their tie off. Yeah. By the fourth quarter, they got their coat
Gary
off.
Tarkanian,
they see a sweat on their,
like, from the Running Rebels.
Right, yeah.
Remember? He'd be biting a towel, take off his thing. Bobby Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. It looks nicer, but it's uncomfortable. Dude, you're at work for 3 hours just walking around and screaming, you know.
Yeah. And everybody else on the bench is dressed like, you know, like they're working out. Why wouldn't you just like you're working out? It's no big deal, you know.
That Scott Hall incident I referenced happened in November 2008. So I'm not sure. Conan, you might have just left around.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right.
Or
when I left
then.
Too.
Yeah.
Left too then. Yeah. I was in Vegas in November 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Next was from Jonathan Wood, the subject of Sandman question. Hey, fellas, just saw a clip of Conan taking
taking on the
Sandman in ECW, and remind me about the conversation y'all were having about clumsy wrestlers. Conan, was a Sandman a clumsy wrestler, or did he just look clumsy due to intoxication? Also, Disco, did you ever get to work Sandman when he was in WCW's Hardcore Hack? Lastly, Joe, while Grudge listening to Get My Go, I sadly found myself chuckling at the Mitch Valentine Darth Vader cheeseburger review. Now I have to live in shame and perpetuity for laughing at something on that two-bit show.
It happens.
I just wanted to reiterate that y'all cats rock. Keep up the good work, and please encourage Billy to continue burying those jive turkeys that can't take a joke so I can hear the fans whine about it. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. The term orcs is spot on. Yes, if the community of people that get offended are like orcs in wrestling, you know. I will say this. Sammy was clumsy, you know, and he probably because he was half drunk when he worked, but he was over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he always got a good reaction every single time you work the guy, and that's really all you ever really want. You know, what do you think, Conan?
No, I would agree with you, and he was mega over, which is more important. And he wasn't reckless, at least with me, he wasn't. And on a personal note, we went out a lot in WCW with Ray.
Yeah, he went out with us all the time.
Incredible guy, yeah.
Yeah, we party. He was fun to be around. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and the thing was, like, he may have looked clumsy. He may have been clumsy, but it absolutely fit the bar fight and Street Fighter Philly guy character too. You know, it made sense. Wait, he's not going to be a good,
I'll be right back.
He's not going to be a good wrestling hold for hold guy. That's not what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. This is dumb. Missy Hyatt Surgeon. Subject is PW Insider. Okay. We've had one of those guys on before, right?
Like Johnson.
Yeah. Mike Johnson. Okay. Boys, get PW Insider on the show. Way cooler cats than that fool Billy Body. Come on guys, do it. Thanks fellas. Like, okay. Bro, those guys are kind of like the nerd. Those are the guys that don't want to come on our show. Like, it's hard finding a dirt sheet guy to have on the show on a weekly basis.
I think I think Mike would probably come on again.
He'd probably come on, but I think once, like, you know, well, I wouldn't mind having him on. But I haven't really been reading his stuff, so I don't really have any, you know. I like reading some stuff that a guy says, and I want to bring him on and discuss it with him. Like, like when Eric has an interesting clip that I like. I say, I want to bring Eric on and talk about this clip that he had. You know, so like, it's got to interest me. I don't want to bring anybody on here just to promote them. I want to bring them on here to talk about stuff that they said that's interesting that I'd like have a discussion about. So,
yeah. And he was great last week. I think that's one of the best interview segments ever on the show, Eric, last week.
Yeah. Excellent stuff, right?
Yeah.
Next is from Roland C. Bonet, and the subject is Sammy and Jay one-on-one. What's up, my guys? Been a while. I hate saying 1v1, but that's the influence of my 11-year-old son. Anyway, would you guys maybe say a Jey Uso versus Sami Zayn one-on-one match at WrestleMania is a bigger draw than the tag title match?
No.
If they go that way, of course. And as for Owens, he can give Sami's blessing and team with the returning Riddle to face Jimmy and Solo. One more thing. We all know families have fallouts, but the ones with the most love always reunite stronger. Any chance we see Sami rejoin the bloodline? He screws Cody. Cody and Sami have a hot feud for months, and whatever. I already told you, like, I would book this. The Bloodline story is kind of like, as it's taking shape, it's going in the exact direction that we thought it was going to go, minus the rest of the match against The Rock that we thought we were going to have. But, bro, The Rock isn't even – doesn't the XFL start on Sunday? Have you heard any buzz?
No.
There you go. I mean, The Rock should have been on WWE television. This thing's had no buzz, you know?
Good
point. He don't want to be on it because they're worried about the negative press from Vince? Like, come on, Rock. Like, your XFL is going to go down the tubes here.
Oh, you have an XFL team in Vegas, DI.
I didn't even know that, to be honest with you.
There's
no buzz, bro. It's zero. Because we had the Super Bowl. Like, but it just shows you how big the NFL is. And this is stupid, them starting the XFL up right after this, because everybody's still buzzing about the Super Bowl. Bro, in Vegas, like I said, the William Hill Sportsbook, guys haven't even got paid for their bets yet. Like, in 4 days from now, the XFL is starting up. It's like, nobody knows about this crap.
Well, we're not all buzzing about the Super Bowl. Not all of us.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that during the sports show. Get it from us.
But it's the Las Vegas Vipers, just so you know, in case you want to check out a Vipers game.
I honestly think that the storyline is better. Okay, if it's Jay and Sammy against Solo and Jimmy, and you just keep it all in family, it's a family squabble. So it's like, you know, the outsider guy, the brother's a friend. You know, the bro. This is stuff that could really be like real life. You know, you got two brothers. One of the brothers jealous that he is he's hanging out more with the friend. You know, the friend, they turned on the friend because the older brother, you know, Roman didn't like him and he beat him, you know, and stuff. And so he screwed the older brother for bullying him and stuff. I don't know. I know Kevin Owens is – that's the way, but, like, he's still on the outskirts of the storyline, in my opinion. I think it's still the inner squabble with these guys is still the story. They're not going to do it my way, but that's a match I would have. Jay and Sammy against Jimmy and Solo for the titles, you know? And you could spin tons of stories out of the finish on that. You know, I don't know. It's like, Cody, what do you think is a better match? Sammy and Kevin against the Usos or Jimmy and Solo against Sammy and Jay?
I would watch either one. I think they're both very interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Conan, guess what?
What'd it do?
'Tis the season for overindulging and cheating on your diet.
Nice.
Joe, don't interrupt. Conan, guess what?
What up?
'Tis the season for overindulging and cheating on your diet. Don't let the holidays ruin all your hard-earned progress with your diet and training. Get prepared to crush it in 2023 with, guess what? Legacy Sports Nutrition.
Boom.
Now, you've heard us talk about them before, but now more K100 listeners than ever have experienced the results for themselves from professional-grade supplements available at LegacySupps.com. Shed those excess holiday pounds and have the energy needed to endure your family with their best-selling fat burner, X-Lean 5, which, Joe, you're currently using, right?
Yeah, I take my X-Lean 5 every morning. I'm energized all day long. I've been feeling a lot better. I feel a lot sharper. And then later on in the day is when I take the Recovery PM to get some really, really good sleep at night. And I'm deep sleeping. I'm getting plenty. And you get your deep dreams that you remember and all that. It's really that's a good show that you're sleeping well. So, but the X-Lean 5, man, I can't recommend that enough if you're looking for more energy during the day. And I've dropped some pounds as well, so.
Well, if that sounds good, you know, I don't do carbs, but you might want to try Carb Defender, specifically designed to take before you're about to pig out on carbs. I know a lot of people like to pig out on carbs, like pizza and stuff, but it limits the negative effect of carbs in your waistline. And of course, there's always their top-selling Test X9 Testosterone Booster and the Sleep Aid getting rave reviews worldwide, the Recover PM. That's my favorite product. And while stocks last, orders over $75 will receive a free supplement organizer with 7 individual cases divided into morning, noon, and night. All in one handy case, you can stay on top of your subs and make those gains, brother. That sounds like a great product, because I got tons of pills, you know, that I take. And as always, show your love for K100. Get 10% off your entire order by entering code K100, that's K100, at checkout at LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com.
Yo, check it out. You know, you got all these different supplements for energy, for, you know, for sleeping, for just about anything you can think of. You know, we're very big on wellness here. Check it out. Legacy Subs, endorsed and made by Nick on probation, Aldis, and Mickey James.
Next is from Ryan Damone, and the subject is Dax exposing himself. Well, I guess I've been listening to Dax's podcast. He sounds like the opposite of his character. His character is an old-school tag team wrestler in the mold of Tully and Arn. But in reality, he's a woke crybaby who spends multiple podcasts crying about Road Dogg not shaking his hand and not needing to take months before their contract expires because they wrestled less than 50 matches in the last year. Could you imagine Bobby Eaton or Arn Anderson doing this? I think they are woke pussies cosplaying old school wrestlers. Thanks for your time. I'll say this, okay, about Dax. I haven't heard his thing, but I think maybe because he's doing this thing with Matt Coon, right?
Yes, yes.
I just think
he's doing?
His podcast.
Matt Coon's a host.
Yeah, right? Under the Conrad umbrella and all.
Right, and I just wonder if they're like kind of if he's worried about saying the wrong things on that show. There's a market for
everybody has to be worried because you just never know what can get you knocked off nowadays. You know.
Right. Right. I don't know, but I don't listen to the show, so I don't really know what to tell you, dude. So, okay, next is from our boy Adam DeMoy, who got me heat with Tony Schiavone. The Winged Eagle return. Hey guys, there's a rumor going around that if Cody wins at Mania, that he will bring back the Winged Eagle WWF WWE Championship belt. If this does occur, how would you book the presentation? Would you have Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels present the belt that defined the 1990s and the feud to Cody? What is your opinion of that era of belt and disco? Don't try to classify this as some belt nerd question like I know you probably already have. Ha ha. What level of prestige do you hold the Winged Angel Championship belt? And Adam.
Yeah, I got to be honest.
That sentence, I don't care. You actually think you knew I wasn't going to care.
Yeah.
So now you're saying I won't care, and I don't care.
Let me give you a backstory. So I was watching this clip that somebody sent me about Cody Rhodes. And he was the one that said, oh, I want the Winged Eagle belt to return. I was like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. You know, bro, if you were to put like the last 5 title belts that WWE's come up with, I couldn't tell you what they were called, what era they're from, or what they even fucking look like. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there are belt collectors that collect the belts and know what they are.
I know. I understand that. Like, but I'm just saying that I don't, you know. Like, if you were to put 5 WWE belts, the last 5 they made, I couldn't tell you what era they're from. I probably couldn't even tell you which one the Winged Eagle is, you know, so.
Adam, do better, bro. Do better. Next is with Jordan LeBlanc, and the subject is the Filthy Animals. Greetings. First of all, my apologies to the K100 crew for unintentionally providing misinformation a few weeks ago with my Max Moon question. See, that's not that hard to do, people. The guy came out here and apologized for his misinformation, right? I'll do better, due diligence in the future. My question is for Cody and Disco. Without a doubt, the Filthy Animals were one of the most entertaining acts in the history of WCW. Considering the fact that all of you were traveling the roads and hanging out together, were there times where you tried to pop each other in the ring or on TV a la Sammy and the Bloodline? And if so, were any of you successful? Bro, we did it all the time.
This is in the hotel room, in the car, in the ring, in the locker room, in the club, everywhere. We're always trying to pop each other.
Yeah, always ribbing, you know, especially like Raven and Perry. You know, they're always doing little gimmicks and angles, trying to pop each other stuff. So it's like, yeah.
And all of our crew was like that. Jericho was like that. Raven was like that. We, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I guess when you're not a wrestler, you know, and somebody's busting your balls, you're not used to it, and you don't really know. You don't really know what to think. But go ahead.
Right. I want to go backwards. Just circle back on the thing we talked about earlier. I want to make a point.
Right.
Not a point. I want to ask you a question. Because I've never worked with Batista. Okay.
Right.
And like, you know, he did have this thing like in the locker room. He was kind of arrogant. Right. But he was kind of like arrogant, but was I understand kind of like a lot of people disliked him for that. Right.
Right.
I can't imagine him being any more arrogant than Luger. But we all liked Luger.
Right.
Like Luger was kind of like a gimmick of an arrogant person, kind of like, because he would never break character.
He was a gimmick in real life. Yeah.
Right. Right. But it was funny. And he was funny around us. You know,
bro,
like,
and
oh,
he had
no,
a,
I don't
and
know
you
what,
talk
no,
about dry wit.
Right.
He had one of the best dry wits ever, him and Dean Malenko.
Yes. Yeah. He's tremendous. And he had I perfected the art of Luger talking, which was his, you know, his calling sign. So, next is from Kevin. The subject is injured wrestler's potential. What's Gucci, Filthy Animals? The reason was one of my favorite entrance songs, and you guys had one of the most underrated entrances in WCW. And so I guess the name of the song is The Reason.
For the Filthy Animals.
What?
I guess. That. Maybe this one. I don't know. My question, do you know of any wrestlers that had a lot of potential to be huge stars, but were unable to due to injuries suffered before they could attain that success? Who got hurt? That was probably, I don't know. I thought everybody kind of like,
yeah, that
I don't
song,
know. Well, Sean,
an entrance
well,
song was called.
If you want to call it getting, you know, dying and suffering an injury, yeah, Sean O'Hare, you know, I would have said, I thought he would have been a huge star, you know? Who else? I don't know.
You know what I saw the other day that was very weird because I never saw it when it actually happened?
Mm-hmm.
You guys might know the backstory to this. What was the deal that I saw the other day? Chris Kanyon come out of a box singing like Boy George, and Undertaker got on him, and then Chris Kanyon got on. Like, he looked great, bro. The boots and punches he was giving Undertaker.
No, exactly. Nobody, one of the best workers ever. Yeah.
Right. Nobody even punches or does that today. I was like, how many guys actually work like that anymore? He looked great. But what was the deal? Did they have a feud or something that I don't know about? Or no?
No, Kanyon had been off TV. Heyman was doing something where he was trying to surprise Undertaker every week.
Oh, yeah, because Heyman was there. Yeah, Heyman was,
And I don't know, man. Kanyon later on in life, of course, said that they did that to him because they found that he was gay. So they had him come out as Boy George and get beat up. I don't know if that's, you know.
Do this. Go to Brian Cage's Twitter page right now.
Yeah.
Go down to the third thing there where he says where Anthony Maurizio posted this candy montage, right? Mm-hmm. And Cage tweets love this. I want you to play this, okay? All right, but before you play it, I want to give you a preface here, okay? Can you have it up? Hold up.
Is it the one where he's doing the promo?
Just it says Anthony Maurizio and Cage says love.
Yeah. Okay.
This.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay. Pull that play. Okay. Before you play it, bro. This was me and Ed Ferrara. We're booking this stuff, okay? And the thing was, Candy was in a feud with DDP, but he was a mid-card guy, so we're trying to elevate him, okay? So we're having him, he was like this whacked-out character that thought he was DDP or trying to act like DDP. So look at all these little gimmicks. This is me and Ed Ferrara, like, coming up with creative ideas, like, for doing these. Go ahead and play this, all right?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like a man, like, Kanyon cutting these women?
Yeah, maybe I do. Why? You have a problem with that?
Actually, I do.
Oh, yeah. You do? Then maybe you better get ready to feel the bang!
I want his ass. Get the hell out of here. I don't know what in the hell he thinks. I want Hogan now!
Whoa! Speaking of
control! Knock that crap off, Kanyon!
The beautiful North Charleston Coliseum, the site of WCW Thunder here tonight. And our thoughts are with Mike Tenay.
Wait, look at this, Tony.
And let's go to a very intense interview. Unbelievable what the
Not average Mike.
I can't believe that.
Good night. I know you wrestle.
It's the World Tag Team. Go, look at
What's his name? Elliot?
Yeah. All right, I thank you very much, gentlemen. Hey, hey, just a minute. Hey, no.
Camera guy.
What happened there? He struck again.
He can't even cut the television man.
Canyon has been doing this for weeks now, but...
just popped another one.
Yeah, it's the second time tonight. This happened earlier today.
Defenseless people.
You feel like...
Bro, great. Stevie Ray's comment there at the end is hysterical. It's like
defenseless people.
Bro, that was good stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like the stuff me and Ed did all that. So
right. Good. Ed Teddy Bear Ferrara, who's got Sea Monkey heat with me because he had never come on the show, right? He's never come on the show.
He's never been on this show.
Yeah, he don't want to be in the spotlight, I guess, or whatever. Next is from Brendan Triano. The subject is selling out the difference. What's good, fellas? It's your boy, the mayor of K100. Get a kazoo after that. We haven't had a kazoo this. Why don't you have the kazoo ready?
Well, Joe was kazooed earlier.
As always, your Discord report is as follows. Nothing new. The Robert Perry Memorial NSFW channel is always flooded with stuff. We all talk about random stuff in the K100 chat. Basically, the Robert Perry Memorial channel on the Discord, Conan, is everybody posting a bunch of like Instagram models or OnlyFans girls and stuff for thing in various positions. Conan and the Discord should join us. There's only one weird guy there, to be honest. Joe blocked him, but the rest of us are pretty dope. Who'd you block, Joe?
Original Stimulant is not very popular in there.
All right, so Billy the Body is getting shit on by a bunch of nerds over this New Japan show selling out or not. So regardless if he's right or not, I want to mention one of the greatest feuds of all time. 50 Cent versus Ja Rule. 50 Cent once purchased nearly all the tickets to a Ja Rule concert just so people couldn't go. The crowd was like 100 people, and it looked bad on Ja Rule's ability to draw. Top-notch trolling. So did that show sell out just because all the tickets were sold? Or do we need the butts in the seats? I think we need to wait until the New Japan show to see if every seat is sold is taken. But Brendan, we talked about this exact thing last week. If it's sold out on the secondary markets, now they have to sell the tickets to get to people that are going to the show. So in our concept of a sellout, it's when you walk in the arena, is it sold out? Or are there empty seats? And are there a lot of empty seats? You know, so that's how we'll know when the show takes place, how many empty seats there are. And then P.S. invitation still stands to attend my wedding. It will be open bar for Joe Drunken Master Feeney. We'll be expecting you three. Brendan, we will not be attending.
I don't know if you want to open that can of worms.
No, I don't want to go see your wedding either. You got any comment on this, Conan?
No, if you can't take Joe.
But what about the 50 Cent Ja Rule? Joe, look that up. That's a fascinating story.
That's a
right
great
there.
Troll if it's true.
That's an epic troll. That's like the Mount Rushmore.
True.
Next is from Old School Lou. Subject is Netflix show. Hey fellas, love your show. By far the best podcast. Oh, by the way, 50 Cent used to come in our club all the time. Did you know that?
How was he?
Cool, super cool guy. Yeah.
Right.
But both Conan and Disco are great for this. The question is for Conan. The show Against the Ropes, Contra Las Cuerdas on Netflix. What's your opinion on this? I love it. What's the relationship with WWE? Do they have to ask WWE permission to use their logos of Rey Mysterio? That's from Louie from the Bronx, New York. And P.S. Vince Russo doesn't rep us. He sucks. Wow. Louie doesn't like they're disavowing Vince in where's that from? Bronx?
Mm.
Yeah, the Bronx. They're disavowing. I got to tell Vince that we do the show with him tomorrow. He's been disavowed by the people in the Bronx. Rochester.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you, I don't have no clue what this question is going
to. Do you consider Rochester a good wrestling city?
No, we're not on that. No, Joe, you're in the.
Oh, I jumped ahead.
Yeah, the Netflix show question. This show against.
Oh,
the
yeah, you got them in way different order for some reason. I'm sorry, that's way down. I'll get it.
So, what's your question, Conan? It's a question for you.
Yeah, the show Against the Ropes on Netflix. What's your opinion, and what's the relationship with WWE? Did they have to ask WWE's permission to use their logos in Ray? If you know anything about it, Conan.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. So yeah. No.
Next, the last one is from Old School Lou. Oh, no, that's the one we just did.
Ray Tiano.
The next is Ray Tiano. The subject is Rochester, New York. What's up, fellas? Been an avid listener for over 2 years now. In my opinion, this podcast is by far the best podcast in the game by leaps and bounds. Job well done, gentlemen. During your shout-outs, I've noticed there are many listeners from my hometown, Rochester, New York, the home of Brody Lee, China, and Gorilla Monsoon. My question for you guys is, do you consider Rochester a good wrestling city? Do you guys have any recollection of ever performing here? And also, we are very well known for our food here, such as pizza, garbage plates, Italian food, and the infamous Dinosaur Barbecue, which is located right behind our arena, which is known for wrestlers to visit after the shows. Have you guys ever eaten a dinosaur? Have you ever had a garbage plate? And if so, what are your thoughts on them? And thanks, Paisans. This is from DJ.
Very specific question.
Never had any of these. I have no clue what you're talking about. I think we wrestled Rochester one time, and I don't recall any. I think we were from Rochester when there was a massive snowstorm there, if I recall correctly. I think we did. Yeah, we actually did wrestle Rochester. It was like 20 inches of snow on the ground or some ridiculous thing like that. So, and it's unbelievable. Like up in Rochester, like you hear the stories of like this massive snowstorm, right? And you're thinking like, oh Jesus, it's going to be horrible, you know? But then when you land, it's like, bro, they have like armies of snow trucks and they clear everything out for you to drive around. So it's like when you're driving in, it's almost like tunnels because the snow has been shoveled off the side of the road and it's formed these big walls. You know, like walls of snow, and you're driving through like a maze, you know, in the city. So that was, you know, so that Jeff Lane lives in Rochester, New York. Conan, what do you think of that?
Another famous name.
He's not famous.
You know, got any comments about Rochester, Conan?
No, but I did look up garbage plate. Mm-hmm. It looks like some shit that they would eat in Philly, like a mishmash, just a whole bunch of. But listen to what it is. It's your choice of cheeseburger, hamburger, white or red hots. Which are also known as hot dogs. Italian sausage, chicken, or grilled cheese served on top of any combination of home fries, French fries, baked beans, and or macaroni salad.
That is a garbage plate.
Yeah, look at the images of garbage plate.
This right, is looks like some Philly shit.
That's a perfect name
for
a garbage plate. It looks like a bunch of garbage. It looks like you threw the garbage and it's just like it landed on a plate.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So here's this 50 Cent Jowl Rule thing before we wrap up, just so you can hear it. It's from 2018, October 2018. It says 50 Cent has announced a new plot against foe Jowl Rule. In an Instagram post, he said he bought 200 front row tickets to the concert on Groupon just to keep them empty. Both musicians hail from Queens, and their feud dates back to the 90s, Billboard reports. Nearly 20 years later, 50 Cent is still trying to cause a ruckus in the rapper and singer's life. The rapper wrote on Instagram that he spent $3,000 on 200 tickets priced at $15 each on the discount site Groupon. According to Billboard, 50 bought at Ja Rule's November 9th concert in Arlington, Texas. It's unclear how many people the venue holds, but if 50 gets his way, his faux show will be deserted. Ja Rule responded on Twitter just saying, I get under 50's skin, love it. So that actually did happen, yeah.
That's a great troll by 50.
All right, so this just happened. Look, so 50 Cent continues a taunt. Former members of the Murder
Inc.
The rapper hit the headlines last week for making fun of Ashanti after news broke that she only sold 24 tickets to a concert in which she had replaced singer Teyana Taylor at the last minute. TMZ caught up with Ashanti recently and asked about the whole 50 situation, to which Ashanti said that he was just being really mean and he was a bully. So now it seems like 50 has his sights set on Ja Rule, who can look forward to a semi-sold-out show thanks to 50 Cent. 50 claims he bought 200 front-row tickets off of Groupon to an upcoming show in Arlington, Texas, featuring Ja Rule on November 9th, just so they could be empty. The rapper said he paid $3,000 to ensure the front-row seats at Texas Live were completely vacant. 50 posted a picture of Ja Rule on his Instagram account after the Ashanti comments were made public from TMZ. The caption read, "People think I'm mean, so go see this. $15? Wait, what do I do now? LOL. Then 50 doubled down and also said this in the comment section. I just bought 200 tickets in the front so they can be empty. LOL. So what do you guys think? Is 50 taking his trolling to new heights? Is Ja Rule going to perform with the front row full of empty seats? Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below. Make sure to hit that subscribe."
That's a classic troll.
That is.
Yeah, I mean, my God. He was worth like $50 million back then.
Yeah, all he did was spend $3,000.
Right. So, all right, that's been our mailbag.